Leslie Frazier won't be the Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator in 2023. Other coaching staff moves and what Bean and McDermott said at the NFL scouting combine is all coming your way today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Wednesday to you, and thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. And as a reminder to you, we are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Well, folks, we got a lot to talk about here on this Wednesday podcast. Big news coming through. Leslie Frazier not returning in 2023 as the Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator. So we got to talk about that. A bunch of other coaching staff moves that were announced. And then Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean met with the media at the NFL scouting combine on Tuesday and had some interesting comments to make about wide receivers, the offensive line, Christian Benford, Tremaine Edmonds, Gabe Davis, Ed Oliver, Terrell Bernard. So we're going to dive into that later on in the podcast. But the lead story is obviously that Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator and assistant head coach Leslie Frazier is taking off the 2023 season. Brandon Bean shared during his media availability on Tuesday morning that last week the coaches were given the week off and he returned from the week off desiring to take 2023 off and not coach, but does plan to return to coaching in 2024, but not necessarily for the Bills. As I've stated multiple times this offseason, starting with the immediate reaction to the Bengals playoff loss, and as most recent as Monday of this week, I felt like Leslie Frazier had run his course in Buffalo. We had that conversation on Monday about how excellent his regular season defenses were and how excellent he was in some of the playoff games. But at the end of the day, his defenses were very poor in playoff elimination games. We went through the last three of those. Most recently in 2022, the loss to the Bengals, 27 points allowed, 412 yards, 30 first downs, 60% conversion rate on third and fourth down. You go back to 2021, the loss in the divisional round against the Kansas City Chiefs, allowing 42 points, 552 yards of offense, 30 first downs, 64% conversion rate on third and fourth down. And then in 2020, the AFC Championship game loss to the Chiefs again, 38 points, 439 yards conceded, 29 first downs, 64% conversion rate on third and fourth down. Meanwhile, in those three games, the defense did not force a single turnover and collected just four sacks. So it just has been very disappointing in these elimination games. And it's hard to reconcile because statistically, year over year, Leslie Frazier is producing top-tier NFL defenses during the regular season, but it's been a problem in some of these elimination games, or not in some, in all the elimination games against these good quarterbacks like Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. And I didn't even mention the playoff loss to Houston, where they shut out the Texans in the first half, and then in the second half, Houston scores 22 points, and the Bills lose the game. So now what, right? That's where we're at. Now what? Leslie Frazier won't return in 2023. What do the Bills do at defensive coordinator? Well, Brandon Bean, he met with the media at the NFL Scouting Combine on Tuesday morning. We'll talk a lot more about his comments later, but regarding Leslie Frazier and replacing him, he said the following. He said, look, we're still working through it. The good news is that Sean's background, of course, Sean McDermott, is on defense. We feel like we have some great minds in the room. And he mentioned first Bobby Babich and also mentioned Eric Washington, John Butler, and Al Holcomb. We'll talk about Al Holcomb a little bit more in the second segment. Bean continued to say that it would be great if Sean decides to be the defensive play caller, said, I've seen him do it for a long time with great success. He's gone against the great quarterbacks and offensive gurus that you have to beat, and said he has full faith that he would do a great job if it came down to that. And then you listen to what Sean McDermott said about that possibility. He spoke later on in the day at the combine. And Sean McDermott, I mean, admitted that he'd be worried about spreading himself too thin if he were to assume this role of being the play caller and, you know, defensive coordinator for the Bills. And so as far as my own thoughts about this situation, I think there's a strong chance that an internal move is made and not an external move. I'm not ruling out the possibility of an outside hire being made. But I think it's more likely that, especially at this point in the offseason, that this is an internal move, whether it is Sean McDermott or it is John Butler or Bobby Babich or Eric Washington or Al Holcomb. Holcomb and Washington have been defensive coordinators in the NFL and have a lot of familiarity with Sean McDermott. I think we should really not be overlooking Bobby Babich in this conversation, a young mind who's coached a couple of different spots in the defense. And you heard Sean McDermott mention about Bobby Babich's goals in coaching, and it feels like some of the things that have happened in the most recent years have been about positioning Bobby Babich to be in positions to advance in his coaching career. And so I don't think it's coincidence that it was the first name that Brandon Bean mentioned, and I think it's a strong possibility that this could be his opportunity. Although it could very well be Sean McDermott. As for Leslie Frazier in 2024, I think what happens in 2023 will have a lot to do with that. If the Bills go through this season and have struggles on defense, and it becomes clear that they miss Leslie Frazier, I could see Sean McDermott welcoming him back. Bean and McDermott both spoke very favorably of Leslie Frazier during their media sessions on Tuesday morning. But if the Bills wind up advancing, having a good year, feeling like you didn't need Leslie Frazier, I can see them continuing with whatever course they were on, whether that's Sean McDermott or potentially a Bobby Babich or one of the other names I mentioned. It really did feel like, coming out of Brandon Bean's press conference, that you felt like it was probably going to be Sean McDermott. And then you kind of came out of Sean McDermott's press conference, or at least I did, with a thought that, you know, Sean McDermott really doesn't want to be a play caller. He wants to be a legitimate CEO of the operation. And if he's leaning into that, it's harder to be that invested on the defensive side of the football. We all know that he's always going to have a lean towards that side of the football, but there's a big difference between that and being in the weeds and developing the game plan and the call sheet and actually making those play calls. Sean McDermott wants to be a overseer of it all and not necessarily being that far into the weeds with just defense. So if he doesn't feel comfortable putting that on someone else, I'm sure he will do it. But it felt like, at least to me, that he would really want to lean into somebody else making those play calls and developing those game plans on defense, and him to continue in this overseer role. Every head coach does it a little bit differently, but I think Sean would prefer to be, like I've mentioned, an overseer and not the play caller. But we'll see how it all plays out. And at least my prediction / expectation is that for this to be satisfied with an internal move as opposed to an external move. Now, Leslie Frazier wasn't the only Buffalo Bills coaching staff announcement that came through on Tuesday, and we'll get to the rest of those in just a minute. But first, I'm going to tell you about FanDuel. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back. If your first bet doesn't win, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. And then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to fanduel.com/lockedon. That's fanduel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, so a bunch of other coaching staff announcements were made in addition to Leslie Frazier on Tuesday. So let's dive into them. And some of these we've known for a little bit of time, but as I've stated a few times recently on the podcast, that I've been waiting for all of this news to come together so we can really dedicate some time to it on the podcast and not really just kind of patch it together talking about a safeties coach being fired here or Chad Hall and his replacement. Like, I wanted to do it all in one shot. And so that's what we're going to do right now. So we'll start with wide receivers coach, where Chad Hall, who had been with McDermott, I'm pretty sure, since 2017, he's left the organization. His contract expired, and he has taken the wide receivers coach job with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, we all know that the players loved him, right? And McDermott's comments during his press availability on Tuesday indicated that they were really happy with him and said some things like, hey, look, even in the coaching world, you can't keep everybody. And when you connect the dots here, I think it's pretty clear that Chad Hall wanted a change. And so he's now in Florida as the wide receivers coach for the Jaguars on an up-and-coming offense. And you know, Chad Hall even got an offensive coordinator interview this year, right? He interviewed to be the Baltimore Ravens offensive coordinator. So he's on a trajectory here as a coach, and maybe he feels like to continue that journey, he'd be best served by going to Jacksonville with their, you know, Doug Peterson's a great head coach. They got a bright young quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, some exciting young wide receiver talent there with Calvin Ridley now being part of the mix, and what they got from Zay Jones this past year. And Christian Kirk was a good free agent signing for them. So, you know, look, you can see why he's aligning himself there. And maybe there were some family dynamics that led to him wanting to be back in the South. But his replacement is an exciting one. The Bills hired Adam Henry to be his replacement as the Bills' new wide receivers coach. Most recently in 2022, Adam Henry was the co-offensive coordinator and wide receivers coach at Indiana. But prior to that, a bunch of NFL experience from 2020 through 2021. He was the Dallas Cowboys wide receivers coach, 2018 through 2019, the Browns wide receivers coach, 2016 and 2017. He was with the Giants as their wide receivers coach, 2015 with the 49ers as their wide receivers coach, and then 2012 through 2014, LSU's passing game coordinator and wide receivers coach, where he had Odell Beckham, right? That's the big storyline with Adam Henry, is that he was Odell's wide receivers coach at LSU in college, then with him in the NFL with the Giants, and then, of course, to the Browns. And so there's a lot of parallels there. A lot of people kind of connecting some dots and realizing that Odell's a free agent. The Bills had some interest. Von Miller certainly continues to poke the bear there. And, you know, maybe this is a move that indicates the Bills would like to have Odell Beckham Jr. And maybe that's true, but also I think part of this could have to do with Adam Henry's experience coaching big personalities, right? Whether that's Jarvis Landry or Odell Beckham or Anquan Boldin, Torrey Smith. You think about some of the guys he's worked with during his time in the NFL, and you can see that he's got some experience working with some big personalities, and that's just kind of the name of the game with wide receivers. They're just a little bit different, these guys that play receiver, and some of them have big personalities, and the Bills have a player like that in Stephon Diggs. And so I think pairing an experienced guy like an Adam Henry, who's played in the NFL, has a lot of good experience, you like kind of pairing those two guys together moving forward. A very different, right? Chad Hall, young, up-and-coming coach, where Adam Henry, more of an established presence, a guy that doesn't come in with that relationship that Chad Hall had with the players, and you wonder about how he can evolve things and really take it to the next level, hopefully. So wide receiver coach Chad Hall out. In is Adam Henry. Also at assistant offensive line, Ryan Wendell has been the Bills' assistant offensive line coach from 2019 through 2022. He's now the offensive line coach for the Los Angeles Rams. In one of the conversations that I had the past offseason leading up to the 2022 season, and speaking with Aaron Cromer, the Bills' offensive line coach, one of his big objectives was to position Ryan Wendell to be a lead offensive line coach. And I know that he's very satisfied that he was able to get that done. The replacement and assistant offensive line coach is Austin Gund. And Gund is a familiar name, was the Bills' offensive quality control coach last year, and now he's the assistant offensive line coach. He played offensive line at the University of Richmond, then worked as a graduate assistant at Wake Forest, and now he's with the Bills and as the assistant offensive line coach. I know that Coach Cromer's excited about it and should be able to step in and have some familiarity and work under Coach Cromer to develop this offensive line. So that's the next one in terms of a shift in personnel. Jim Salgado was dismissed as the Bills safeties coach. That was a move announced pretty quick after the season ending loss to the Bengals. And I know that a lot of people saw that news and responded and said, well, that's it. That's the only staff change. Well, it was the only staff change at the moment. Certainly we're aware of several more now. So Jim Salgado, who was the Bills Nichols coach and then became the safeties coach, he was let go. The Bills hired Joe Dana as the replacement, a guy with 15 years of experience in the NFL. He played wide receiver at Central Michigan. His most recent experience came last year with the Texans. He was their safeties coach. And then from 2017 through 2021, he was with the Jaguars and had a bunch of different roles, including defensive backs coach, nickels coach, safeties coach. So he's coached all over the defensive backfield, and he comes to Buffalo as the safeties coach, and potentially a big job here, right, with somebody new playing alongside Micah Hyde this year. And maybe that'll be Christian Benford. We'll talk about that in just a minute. You know, you think about his time in Houston this past year, getting a chance to work with Jalen Petrie, who had a really good rookie season. And you like to see that, and then go back to the Jaguars. And a lot of different names have come through there at safety. Actually in the defensive backfield in general that I think will serve him well in Buffalo. The Bills also hired Al Holcomb to be a senior defensive assistant. And Al Holcomb's a pretty big name in the coaching world, has had some important roles over the last few years. Most recently, he was with the Carolina Panthers as their interim defensive coordinator and assistant head coach. He held that job for 2 years. Prior to that, in 2019, he was with the Browns as their linebackers coach and run game coordinator on defense. 2018, he was with the Arizona Cardinals. He was their defensive coordinator and assistant head coach under Steve Wilks. And then the time with the Sean McDermott came with the Carolina Panthers 2013 through 2017 as their linebackers coach. So obviously there's familiarity there. Then you think about those good Panthers linebackers, Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis, Shaq Thompson. Maybe there was a year of overlap there as well. That he was able to take part of with Coach McDermott. And then prior to that, he was with the Giants as a defensive assistant from 2009 to 2012. So a lot of experience with Al Holcomb coming to this Bills defense, which is welcomed when you say goodbye to Leslie Frazier and all the years of experience that Leslie has in the NFL. It's nice to gain some of that back with Al Holcomb. The last coaching staff move for now is Kyle Shurmur. And Kyle Shurmur was on the coaching staff last year as a defensive quality control coach. Now he's an offensive quality control coach. He was recently a quarterback, if I'm not mistaken, at Vanderbilt. And then he was a backup in 2021 for Washington, bounced around to a few different teams, the Chiefs, Broncos, and Bengals, and very quickly settled into coaching. He's the son of Pat Shurmur, who has been an NFL head coach. So that's probably the better path for him. He was pretty marginal talent at quarterback and realizes that his career is, or his future is going to be in coaching. And so gets a year of defensive QC experience. Now he's on the offensive side of the football. And so it's kind of cool to see his growth and trajectory and opportunities that he's getting in Buffalo. So we'll see how that continues. But for this year, he's going to offense as a QC coach. And that's it for now as it relates to the coaching changes, right? We'll get some more details on what the Bills will ultimately do at defensive coordinator. In just a moment, we're going to dive into the most notable comments made by Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott at the NFL Scouting Combine. Give me just a second. I'll be right back. All right, so Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, they met with the media at the NFL Scouting Combine on Tuesday. I want to dig into their most notable comments. And most of these comments are going to come from Brandon Bean. I'll weave in some of Sean McDermott's comments, but he was kind of buttoned up, honestly, listening to him on Tuesday afternoon, which is pretty typical for McDermott. You usually get a little bit more out of Bean, but I'll give you my most notable takeaways after listening to these two press conferences. I mean, I think Bean went for almost 25 minutes, McDermott about 15. So we'll give you everything that they said that's important here in a much more bite-sized opportunity to consume those comments. So first of all, Brandon Bean on James Cook, he said that he got more involved as the season went along and gained more confidence, right? He talked about his confidence increasing, and so did his workload, that he believes that he can handle a higher workload next season. So it felt like there was a lot of confidence in James Cook and his trajectory. When Sean McDermott talked about James Cook, he talked about, and he came back to this like two or three different times throughout his session. He said, look, you know, I think we always talk about the growth from year one to year two with players, but he said he feels like he sees the most growth in year three. And I think that's been true for his time in Buffalo. I'm not sure that's consistently true across the NFL. But a lot of emphasis on those year three guys, which would be the Greg Rousseau draft class. So just something to keep in mind there. Although I do expect James Cook to have a significant role in the offense, I think he could challenge for 200 touches next year. At wide receiver, Brandon Bean said this. He said, we're always looking for playmakers. So he was asked about wide receivers and said, we're always looking for playmakers. We need weapons and mismatches. Said we need skill sets that can dictate personnel groupings. And so it was interesting that he was asked about wide receiver and then pivoted and made it about playmakers. And so then he was asked a follow-up, Brandon Bean was, about what makes a playmaker. And he said, first of all, run after catch, which is interesting, right? Because we've been talking about run after catch for years on this podcast, and the Bills continue to be at the bottom of the NFL in run after catch. I think the last 2 years, Josh Allen was dead last in yards after catch per completion in the NFL. And so Brandon Bean talks about this, right? He said, look, we need guys that can run after the catch, guys that can turn plays into home runs and chunk plays. He said, it's hard to always count on 10, 11, 12 play drives. He said, three play drives for touchdowns are good too. So it's kind of interesting, right? Like, you could tell this is something that's on his mind. The first thing that he mentioned when he was asked about what makes a playmaker, it's been a problem for a couple of years in Buffalo, and he immediately went to this this category, run after catch, as an important trait for a playmaker. Now, when he was asked about wide receivers, and not even specifically Gabe Davis, Brandon Bean said people had unrealistic expectations of Gabe coming out of the Kansas City playoff game where he had four touchdowns and over 200 yards. And then he went on and said all the same stuff he always says about Gabe Davis, about how nobody trains as hard as Gabe. He's a competitive guy who wants it badly. And then he said he had a high ankle sprain going into the Titans game that he suffered in practice on Friday, and said that really impacted him early on. So there were extra steps with his routes. He mentioned there were some drops that he wants back, but ultimately said there's lots of faith in Gabe and that he'll come back better and even more prepared for the opportunity. So again, these guys rave about this dude, Gabe Davis. Sean McDermott on Gabe Davis, he said he had a good year, didn't get off to a great start, some turbulent times in the front third of the season, but handled it well and finished the year in a good way. He will learn from it, and he's wired to come back and compete. You know, what's interesting about this is I feel like most of my issues with Gabe were kind of later in the season. Like early on, the Pittsburgh game was good. The Rams game was good. The Chiefs game was good, right? Like those were some of my favorite games from Gabe Davis. I got disappointed with Gabe Davis kind of the part of the season where I don't feel like the ankle would have been as big of an issue. Like post by Gabe Davis is the Gabe Davis that rubbed me the wrong way. I liked him against KC. I liked him against Tennessee. I liked him against the Rams. So I don't know if I see that the same. And then Sean McDermott on wide receivers in general and the need to get better there, he said, we're confident in the guys we have. And he specifically mentioned liking Khalil Shakir and what he can offer the team in year two. So just you think about these wide receiver comments, and it boils down to being pivoting and wanting to talk about weapons and mismatch players, talking about run after catchability, and then comments about unrealistic expectations for Gabe and loving who he is as a player and as a person and his work ethic, and talked about the high ankle sprain, same thing with Sean McDermott. And then comments about Khalil Shakir and the confidence that he has in them, in him. So I don't know what you want to make of that. If it's intentional messaging about this group or it's reality. But I thought there was a lot to take away from what they said about wide receivers. Now, regarding offensive line, Brandon Bean, he talked about it being a high priority even before playmakers. And then he mentioned, he said, well, we've got Deion, Mitch, Bates, and Spencer. And then mentioned Roger Saffold is a free agent, and that would probably be the piece that they'd have to look at. But again, we've got Deion, Mitch, Bates, and Spencer. So I feel like he's viewing those guys as like expected starters. And so I wanted to highlight this because I think there's a disconnect in the way the team views Spencer Brown as the current and future at right tackle versus what a lot, I think, fans want, or comments that I get, DMs, emails about upgrading that spot. And I'm not saying that I don't want competition there. You guys know that I'm at least optimistic about Spencer Brown. I've talked a lot about some of his challenges and where I think he can get to. But I think this team looks at him as a pretty firm starter, which might be contrary to what a lot of people want to be true. Regarding Christian Benford, Brandon Bean said, we love his ball skills. We love his processing. Proved he can play corner. Part of the reason they drafted him was the versatility and thought that he could play safety. He said, we want to get the best players on the field. If we feel the best players means moving him to safety, we wouldn't hesitate to do that. And Sean McDermott commented on Christian Benford and said, it really depends on other roster moves, but the plan is for him to start off at corner and go from there. So, I mean, that makes sense, right? You want to see, do you get Poyer back? Do you go after a free agent? Do you draft somebody? I don't think it's appropriate on February 28th for them to say exactly what the plan is for Christian Benford before we've even gotten to free agency or the draft. But it's fair to note that it's at least on the table. They're talking about it, but it's obviously contingent on what happens with some of the other moves. Sean McDermott on Tremaine Edmonds has said, it's been fun to watch him grow. He's such a young player. When we got him, and he still is, has been a true joy, comes from a great family, and is a class act. You can never replace a person and player like Tremaine Edmonds. So we'll see there. Regarding Terrell Bernard, Sean McDermott said he got a little bit of time last year at different positions, but mostly outside and special teams. He said they need him to have a great offseason, but has shown that he is smart and capable. Not that there's a whole lot to take away from that, but a lot of positive remarks about Terrell Bernard. I don't really view him as a replacement for Edmonds, but maybe the team does. And then lastly, on Ed Oliver, Sean McDermott said, I've seen him develop on and off the field, mentioned that he's a new father, and said that Ed affected the quarterback more than his sack production showed, and that they are very confident in him. He also had some good comments to say about Gregory Rousseau and how he had a good rookie season, a better year too, and then talked about his habits and his work ethic and how important football is to him. And they feel like when you've shown growth and you have that work ethic, that it could lead to really good things. He actually said the sky's the limit for him in year three. So that was kind of cool to see. Like, they're always generally going to say optimistic things about players. You know, we're confident in these guys, but when you really start to talk about a player's habits and what you've liked for them and say things like the sky's the limit, that's not something Sean McDermott says loosely. And so I thought that was notable here as a takeaway from Sean McDermott's press availability. All right, folks, that is going to do it for us here today on the podcast. I hope you enjoyed. Obviously, a big day of news in the world of the Buffalo Bills and some interesting comments made by Bean and McDermott. Not going to promise you exactly what I'm going to do for tomorrow's podcast, because maybe there's more news. Maybe we'll talk some combine, have some creative ideas. But here's what you do need to know. We're talking Buffalo Bills for you here tomorrow and every Monday through Friday all year long. So don't miss anything. Make sure that you're subscribed. We'd love it if you took a second to rate, review, and share the podcast. Have a great rest of your day. Go Bills. And I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.